Hello, and welcome back to Hip to Be a Square Podcast, your place for things quilty and geeky. Welcome to episode 312. My name is Pam, and it is Friday, September 1st, 2017. Hi, guys. So I feel like a lot's happened since we last talked directly. Jet has recovered from his dental surgery. The cats are getting wet food 2 times a day. Of course, that is the most important update. I know that's why you all listen, is to hear me talk about what my cats eat. Anyway, they are delighted by breakfast 2 times a day. I think we have established a very bad habit of the breakfast elevator. So it used to be that we would feed them only at night, and it would be right before I go to bed. And I would get the food ready in the kitchen and clink the dishes and signal the breakfast parade, even though it's at night. We still call it breakfast for them. And they would follow me upstairs, and we would feed them in our room. Because it used to be at night, we would shut the cats up in our room. And we don't do that anymore, because everyone, it seems like, can behave overnight now. Except 2 times a day, I got tired of all that up and down, and so we just started feeding them in the kitchen. And because Fred is obnoxious, Fred is the dog, we can't feed them on the floor in the kitchen, because then Fred will push them out of the way and chase them away and not let them eat. So they have to get fed up on the counter. Not ideal, but they do have their own little reserve spot of the counter to eat on. And yeah. So now they're still kind of used to going upstairs instead of eating on the counter. So I clink the dishes, set them down on the counter, and do a lot of like pointing and pantomiming, like, the food is up here, guys, nom nom nom. And they just look at me like, what? And so now I have to lift them up on the counter. So they're like, oh, look, food. And now I think they expect that the breakfast elevator is part of eating breakfast. So I have created 3 monsters. Anyway, Jet's doing better. He had another checkup today for his urinary tract infection. Hopefully that will come back fine. We'll know for sure early next week. But hopefully all is well there. He is still refusing to eat his special treats, even though I have soaked them in salmon juice, aka like the water when you buy canned salmon. I have not gone out and actually caught salmon and squeezed them to make juice. That would be weird and gross. So yeah, I'm still figuring out how to get him to eat that stuff. It's not going well. Hope springs eternal, however. So, let's see, I had my pattern in the magazine, I had read a lot of books, everything seems to be okay there, and now we are on to, okay, health update. 2 weeks ago, I think I had recorded the podcast before I went to the dermatologist. I had my regular checkup with the dermatologist. I get an annual just look-see to make sure nothing goes funky. I'm not out in the sun all that often, but still better safe than sorry. And I had just pointed out, like, you know, I have these 4 weird bumps on my elbow that are all very close together, and they've never changed color, and they haven't made any more friends. And do you know what they are? And the dermatologist is kind of, you know, with the big googly eye magnifying glasses on, looking at them and, you know, making inquisitive eyebrows at them. Like, I really have no idea what that is. Let's cut it off of you. So, yeah, there was some needles and numbing and biopsies performed. And then they said, okay, we'll have the results. Come back in 2 weeks. We have to put a suture in or two because it's kind of deep. And so come back and we'll get you the results and get the sutures out. So earlier this week, I got a phone call and I was not able to take it because I was at work on a conference call. And basically it is something called a granuloma annulare, I think, GA for short, which is an idiopathic benign rash, essentially. Sometimes it's irritating and itchy in some people. Lots of times it's just like, hey, here's a weird skin thing. However, when they left the message, they're like, yeah, so it's totally benign unless it's bothering you. It's, you know, don't need to do anything. And if it is bothering you, we could give you a steroid shot, but that's probably more trouble than it's worth. And oh, by the way, maybe a sign of diabetes. So like get that checked out. But like, I'm sure it's nothing. Like, thank you, dermatologist nurse, for telling me I might have the diabetes. So of course I Googled it, which you should never do, by the way. But I did anyway, because what the heck? Diabetes is not the only thing it's a symptom of. Also, could be or could make an appearance if your body is currently dealing with thyroid issues, which is the biggest no-duh statement ever, because I don't have a thyroid. For those that haven't been longtime listeners, I had what we call thyroid cancer 11 years ago and had my thyroid removed. I say we call it that because the diagnosis and the biopsy and the subsequent taking out and examination of it, it was just not very clear what was going on with my thyroid, but the general consensus was probably a good thing we took that out. So I don't have a thyroid. I have to take a pill every day for the rest of my life. I super love it when people ask me, oh, what happens if, like, you know, there's an apocalypse and the supply chain gets disrupted and you can't get your pill? I'm like, well, then I guess I'll die after a few months because my body can't make that hormone itself anymore. So thanks for that reminder. Anyway, so yes, I kind of laughed when I realized, like, oh, yes, so it's just my body telling me a whole nother way. By the way, you have to take a pill every day for the rest of your life. So I will mention this skin diagnosis to my endocrinologist when I see them next week, because I already had an appointment set up. But I was like, well, no duh. So health check update. Everyone, get yourself checked out if something feels weird, because you never know. Because, hey, maybe I would have gotten that thing, not had thyroid addressed 11 years ago, and that would have been my body just having another memo that it sent me saying something's not right. Please take care of this. So there you go. Alrighty, that health check out of the way. Let us now actually talk about some quilting and some sewing stuff. So I did finish up and ended up donating 7 quilts total for the community service quilts for our guild. Turned those in all last week. And some of them I've shown before. I think I ended up eventually getting pictures of all of them and posting them. But the one I showed on the Sunday stash after the last podcast was the busiest of them all. It was just straight up patchwork scrappiness, and very colorful. So I will end up making more like that, mostly because I made my daughter 2 new skirts, and you always get weird scrappy offcuts from that. So the scraps from those 2 skirts are getting turned into other quilts. One will be donated, one will be gifted. So with that, because I had caught up on Sunday stash because I kind of forgot to do it the week before, I had 3 placemats that I donated, my sample for Krista Watson's blog hop, the very busy scrappy one that I called Riley Stripe, and then another pinwheel quilt. And that was like 15 1/4 yards total. So that did push me over my total used year to date over 200. It was 209 3/4 yards. And I did add some fabric. We had gone to In-Town Quilters, Lynn and I, to go, you know, celebrate their anniversary, which is always exciting when a quilt store continues to hang in there. and also because Maddie Curte from Badass Quilt Society was in town. So she lives in Chattanooga, which is about an hour and a half northwest of us. So she came on down to Atlanta for that. So we went and, you know, said hey to her and hung out and chit-chatted. So with that, thank you, Debbie and Janice, for your comments. So Janice, I had mentioned in the last podcast, it's helpful to me if you guys can leave a positive review on iTunes. And Janice said she was not quite sure how to do that. So if you are actually on your iPhone or iPod listening, you can go to the podcast app and do a search for the podcast name, Hip to Be a Square, Quilting Podcast, and you should be able to leave a review right there in the app. There is a way also to do it on the iTunes website. And I think on my website, there is a subscribe to the podcast section at the top right. And there, the first button right there is kind of purple colored, and it says on Apple Podcasts. Now, this is the desktop version. If you're looking at this on a mobile phone, I'm not quite sure what it looks like. But when you click on that, you get like the webpage version of my iTunes listing. And then you can click on viewed in iTunes, which would open it up in the actual iTunes program on a laptop. So either a Mac or a PC, that should work. I don't know if you can leave it directly on the website. There is a section for customer reviews. However, I don't see where to add a new one on this particular site. So if you can't figure it out, let me know and I will try to come up with a better set of instructions. But thank you, Janice, for trying. I appreciate that. Okay. So that brings us to the next Whip Wednesday, where I got to show a picture of the gray pinwheel quilt that I put together. And that was a real fun one, because again, that was using some scraps that had been hanging around forever, so I felt good. I cleaned out the scrap bin and turned it into something usable. Now, at the time, I was also doing some graffiti quilting on what turned into a pillow. So, and I think I mentioned that we are producing laser-cut prefused applique kits for some of our designs, Lynn and I, through the Stitch TV show. So this is one of those designs as shown on a pillow sample. And I was doing this for the shop to display. And also, if you are in the Atlanta area, next weekend, not this one coming up, but I think it's September 8th and 9th. Yes, 8th and 9th for sure. I don't know if it's Thursday as well. There is a new quilt show in the Atlanta area called Quilt Connect. It is down, it's downtown Atlanta, y'all. It is inside the perimeter. If you're local to Atlanta, you know what that means. Atlanta is actually, well, originally it was at the crossroad of a lot of railroads. It is now where three different interstates cross. I-85 that goes from essentially South Carolina back down to Alabama. 75 that stretches from Tennessee down to Florida. And then I-20 that goes from South Carolina across to Alabama. So that one runs kind of east-west. And there's a what we call the perimeter, I-285, that makes this big kind of circle around the city. And so if you are truly suburban, you are OTP, or outside the perimeter. And if you're way cooler than I will ever be, you live ITP, or inside the perimeter. Anyway, so this quilt show, Quilt Connect, is ITP, inside the perimeter, in downtown Atlanta. So I say all that, a little lesson in Atlanta geography, to tell you that it is in downtown Atlanta. We are going to be popping down there, not in anything official, just like, hey, new quilt show, let's go check it out. Next Saturday, the 9th. And our friend Andy, who is co-owner of the Red Hen Stitch Shop, normally in Marietta, Georgia, Andy has a booth down there for Red Hen, and she is going to be selling our applique kits and our new vinyl decals, which you got a sneak peek of. Yeah, I said that right. If you signed up for the Stitch TV show newsletter, that came out this morning. So we have vinyl decals for your car or large sewing machines. We have laser cut prefused applique kits. We're branching out. It's kind of scary because it's like, oh shoot, how do we ship all this stuff? So easiest in the US, of course, because that is where we are headquartered and the easiest place to calculate postage, frankly. So we're figuring stuff out and how we get all that listed on our website. Now, some of the stuff is sold through Andy and her husband's business, Lasting Impressions, because they do custom small job printing and die cutting. So let's say, for example, you randomly need all of your hexagons or clamshell pieces cut for a quilt, but you don't want to cut them yourself. Andy and her husband have a nifty laser that can go and like cut all that stuff for you. Just saying. But anyway, I will post some examples and links and such, both from my website here on Hip to Be a Square podcast, but of course also on the Stitch TV show. Anyway, so yes, that pillow that I did the graffiti quilting on will be at Quilt Exchange next weekend, and then in residence at Red Hen Stitch Shop, so you can go see my crazy graffiti-style quilting. And just to bring it all back around, I took a graffiti quilting class with Krista Watson, and she is our latest Celebrity Soft Pants Stitch and interviewee. So we just participated in her blog hop, the kites quilt that I made and logged as part of my Sunday stash, was in support of the blog hop for Krista's new book, Piece and Quilt with Pre-Cuts. Hey, Krista. I'm sure she's listening, doing something very healthy, like running or on a treadmill or something, whereas I usually listen to my podcast when I'm stuck in traffic. So hopefully she's in a lot better mood than I would be if I were listening to this. Anywho, there you go. I feel like I had a point and then I lost that point. So sorry for that. Right now, I'm just noticing the way I'm sitting is putting pressure on my non-elbow cancer. So the part where they just took the sutures out. So there. Anyway, let's carry on and get back to quilting. So on that WIP Wednesday post, thank you, Debbie and Jay, for your comments. And we are coming up on the U.S. holiday weekend, Labor Day. So if you want to play along on social media and you're listening to this in near real time, please post on social networks, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc., with hashtag LDSI, Labor Day Stitch-In, or Labor Day Sew-In, whatever moniker you prefer. And I think there's something going on over in the Twilters group on Facebook, too. Just encouragement for posting pictures, because it's, compared to the rest of the world, the U.S. doesn't really get a lot of official holidays. So it's always a delight for us. And my boss at work was nice enough just to kind of tell us all, like, hey, if you guys get everything wrapped up you need to by Thursday, like, just take Friday off and don't even count it towards your vacation. So that was very awesome. And I was like, great, I'll do that. But I also have to take the cat to the vet and meet the dermatologist and like 6,000 errands that I had to run today. So I'm not exactly living in the lap of luxury. I was sitting on the couch reveling and not doing anything until I remembered, oh shoot, I have to go record a podcast before I go pick the kids up for tuba time, because it's Friday and we got to pick my son and his tuba up so he can practice over the weekend. So that brings us to the post in the audio version of episode 301 of the Stitch TV show. And I can't believe that we're starting our third year. It's not overwhelming. I mean, it feels entirely manageable because obviously we've been doing it for 2 years, but it's very strange to think, wow, we've been doing this for 3 years. And I so appreciate everyone's comments and support and feedback and sharing and liking of everything. I really do. I love the little community that we have of watchers and listeners. And I really appreciate that everyone keeps it positive and supportive and not weird and horrible, like lots of times things get out on the internet. So for me to you, thank you very much. And in 5 weeks, we are rolling into my podcastiversary, where I will have been podcasting for 7 years. And I got a little something planned. Got a little giveaway. That's going to be exciting. So stay tuned for that. More news about that when, I think my official date is like October 16th or 17th, something like that. So stay tuned for that in 5-6 weeks. So on episode 301, Cindy left a comment asking, saying she can't wait for the next podcast, which is awesome. Hi, here it is. It's happening right now. And she had a question about the virtual stitch-in. So she said she had tried to join but couldn't figure it out. So we ended up changing how we did that. And originally it was because the way that YouTube live streaming interface with Google Hangouts changed such that we couldn't figure out how to get more than just the two of us on there. And then we figured it out, which you can see the results of when we do the stitch-ins now, both the Friday night and then the celebrity interviews. But what we found was when we have a lot of people on there, it ended up being a lot of work to traffic the noise because, you know, it's a stitch-in. We all wanted to be sewing. And Lynn and I have, you know, like figured out and learned like, oh gosh, we need to be working on hand projects because some of our machines, and I think my Janome, my normal Janome 6600, it's not terribly loud. It does pretty good. And I could sew on that and it wouldn't trigger the microphone to shift focus away from Lynn onto me because the way the Hangouts interface works, whoever's making the loudest noise, that's the window, the video window that pops up the biggest. So what we figured out is like, ooh, this gets dicey to try and manage. And, you know, we had gotten some complaints about noise and what's happening and we can't see anything. And so we did trim it back. So those long form virtual stitch-ins are now Lynn and I, and then we'll invite one other person and we kind of prep them like, okay, here's the deal. You can only work on hand stuff. If you got a machine and it's super loud, we're going to mute you. And then what's the point of you even being on there? So we've kind of tone that back. I do miss like just the open stitch with everyone. I think that's awesome and fun, but that's not the sort of thing that we need to just put on our YouTube channel. I think that's just, hey, we want to hang out with people and let's just do this and keep that as just a hangout experience and not like an officially formally produced stitch thing. So, you know, we might get back to that eventually. Honestly, it's kind of come down to just spend a lot of my time doing computer stuff in support of the stitch. And sometimes I just like need to go sew. So my comment back to Cindy was, it's open to everyone to watch. And the way that we manage interacting with people now is through the comments. So on, if you watch the video live on YouTube, I open up the chat window and different people pop on and they're text chatting with each other in kind of this open chat box on YouTube. Now, you can watch the embedded video at any time, you know, as a replay, or you could watch it live from the Stitch TV show site. But if you want to chat with us live that evening, you got to go over to the YouTube site and use their chat interface. And then when people ask questions like, oh, what does everyone think about XYZ? Or does someone have a suggestion for this? Then, you know, I will try to work it fluidly into the conversation. I'm not always successful. I'm still learning. And so that way we can answer questions, but it's not, it doesn't have that noise factor that we were having issues with and honestly getting complaints on. So it's unfortunate that we had to do that, but yeah, you know, it's kind of the way we had to manage that going forward. So we weren't getting just negative Nancy emails. And sorry if your name is Nancy. That was not a dig at anyone named Nancy. Nancy's are lovely people. I know several. Okay. That brings us back to Sunday Stash. And there were no comments on this one. And that's okay. So I finished my daughter's skirts. And then I did finish that pillow sample. And then also the companion wall hanging. So like a little bit of yardage used. They were pretty small projects. So just under 5 yards added to that total. So I'm just coming up on 215 total yards used for the year. And I'm kind of in the middle of just making a lot of blocks right now for different stuff. And I'm kind of stuck on a quilt design. And I don't know when I'm going to get unstuck. But honestly, there's a hand piecing project I have to finish tonight. Because we're supposed to use it for filming tomorrow. Yikes! So I think I'm going to take that in the car with me to work on while I'm waiting in line for tuba pickup. Because I know how to lead a glamorous life. Alrighty, so that brings us to book time. And I feel like maybe I need a jingle here, but y'all are just going to have to deal because I'm not going to sing. That's not going to end well for anybody. So from the looks of the list, I read a lot in the last 2 weeks. And my very top recommendation of books from that I read in the last 2 weeks, I absolutely adored the novel The Olmos Sisters by Jocelyn Jackson. She is a Southern author. I believe she's local to Atlanta. And she's written several other books, and I believe that they are all kind of set in the South, and they are about this, you know, the the tensions in Southern families. And I say Southern families because the way it's written, it's kind of like, well, this problem would never happen in a Northern family or a Southwestern or, gosh, any place outside of the U.S. South. And those of you not familiar with the U.S. South might think that we just mean that, you know, toothless rednecks. That's not it. This is the particular gentility that is sometimes passed down generation to generation ends up morphing and twisting a bit. So anyway, one of the things I really liked about this book was the treatment of racial tension in a time when, oh boy, there's a lot of it out there in the world. And it's about all different types of sisters, which I appreciated, biologically related and otherwise. But it was a very well-told story, and I appreciated the delicacy with which she handled the tension, without dismissing it or making broad sweeping judgments about it, but like, hey, this exists and it needs to be dealt with, and there's no good answer. There's no good way to do it without raising ire on either side. But it was a very well-written book, which I really appreciate. Now, would love to hear someone that is not steeped in the South as I am. So I'm not originally from the Southern United States, although I don't know. I grew up technically mid-Atlantic, coastal Virginia, which could still be considered more South than anything else. However, my parents are Midwestern, and that brought a very different set of standards and expectations, I think. Very much no-nonsense. Not the flourishy romanticism we sometimes associate with Southernness. Or High South, if you think of plantations and the decadence, and not the horrible negative side that encompassed slavery. Anyway, I feel like I've just talked myself into a hole. So I would love to get the perspective of someone reading this book that is not from the South, is what I'm saying. So, I did recommend it on Goodreads and on Instagram, and it's rare that I Instagram a book and say, go read this, and I've done that a couple times. But this is one that I loved, and I thought, wow, this is within the top two books that I've read this year. Anyway, A+, would read again. I also finished up both the Raven Cycle books, the Maggie Stiefvater YA series, and I finished up the Patience Griffin series, the Kilts and Quilts series. There's 6 books total in that one. I really liked the Patience Griffin series. It's nice to read just a nice, gentle novel with low drama. Sometimes you need a break from, ooh, boy, here's a heavy topic we all need to tackle as a society, to, gosh, I hope these people get together and live happily ever after. So, fun reads if you have not yet caught those, the Kilts and Quilts series. Now, I did, my library kind of randomly bought one of the novellas as an ebook checkout from the Outlander series, and this was A Plague of Zombies. It's The Lord John Grey, number 3.5. And that was entertaining and nice to revisit those characters here in when Droughtlander is almost over, aka it's coming back on Stars here in the U.S. soon. I assume it goes internationally as well. Now, I will also say this book popped up on my Red feed that is something my son was reading, so I got no feelings about it. However, there you go. I just deleted it, so you won't even see that. Okay, so I am currently reading, I also finished The Forgotten Seamstress by Liz Trenow, and I got this one from my library on their electronic resources, so I checked it out as like a Kindle ebook. And it mostly because it was like, oh, it's kind of about a quilt and also, you know, just a general, you know, lady story. And it was decent. I would say it was a good time filler. It ended a bit obviously. We were like, oh, well, that was not a twist at all because I totally saw that coming. But it was still a decent book. Sometimes it feels like faint praise to say, well, she didn't mess up the quilting bit. But I did struggle to visualize what she was describing was the quilt pattern of this particular sample. And maybe, like, I don't know if she was using the wrong phrase or I was just not versed enough in block that she was trying to describe. But I was kind of like, that sounds like a hot mess. But it was an interesting story. It's kind of about this, you know, mysterious quilt found in attic. What's the story? Oh, a royal tie-in. How does that happen? So, you know, interesting read. And then I'm currently reading The Last Tudor by Philippa Gregory. It is the Plantagenet and Tudor novel. It's the 14th one. And it's about the nine-day queen, Lady Jane Grey, which is not a part of the Tudor history that I was well-versed in. So I knew what happened after Henry VIII died, and I knew his son Edward was crowned, and he did not last long because he was sickly. And then the whole, you know, passing on to then the sisters, Queen Mary and Queen Elizabeth. But somehow I completely missed this whole, like, nine-day queen. Because there's two Janes. There's Jane Seymour, that Henry VIII was married to and died in childbirth, giving birth to Edward. And now apparently there's a second one. So, always interesting to be taken back to a perspective from a time that you're like, why do women act like that? And you're like, oh, well, it's because it was a very different time. So nice to kind of step outside of my current life and be like, oh boy, that felt like it was messed up. So, interesting historical fiction. Of course, it is a fiction. Not everything happened the way she describes it. It's not a biography. It's a fictionalized account. And I have to keep reminding myself of that. But if you've enjoyed Philippa Gregory's other novels, I think I'm about, 15% into it, according to my Kindle. It's a big old book. I'm like, it was only 9 days. How long can this book be? Answer, pretty darn long. I feel like maybe it's going to take me just as long to read it as she was a queen. We'll see. Because I got to hand stitch this thing instead of reading. So I don't think I'll get to read any more of it today. So with all that, my phone has been pinging here next to me. I don't know if you all could have heard that while it was happening. I have cats to chase and dogs to walk. Oh, and hopefully light at the end of the tunnel on the whole job thing, in that I think I have figured out where I want to go next, and that it is a position that is open to me and that is suitable for me, and that it can happen by the end of this year. But more to come. Hopefully, maybe I'll know more in the next 2 weeks. So I did hear, this made me laugh. So my boss and his boss, who's the chief marketing officer, are having a meeting with another person that, if the work structure were a family tree, would be my great aunt boss, are all getting together to, like, have this meeting about me and to figure out, like, where I should go next. And to me, it just sounds like the scene from The Convent in The Sound of Music, where the nuns are all singing about how do you solve a problem like Maria, except I'm the Maria. So now I just picture, like, all of this management in my company in nun's habits singing about me like I'm a cloud and that they're trying to pin down. So that's added a layer of delight that I did not currently have in my job, and that's been good. Anyway, I'm going to leave you with that visual right there. So I hope you guys get a chance to stitch along with us this weekend. Remember to use the hashtag LDSI out on the Instagrams and the Twitters and the Facebooks, and I will see you all around the internet. Quilt long and prosper. The opening music is a theme from The Stitch by Big Think Productions, courtesy of Ed and Eddie, LLC. To find out more about the podcast and listen to archived episodes, visit the website at www.hiptobeasquarepodcast.com. You can contact me, Pam, by emailing info@hiptobeasquarepodcast.com, leaving a comment on the website, or by following me on Twitter at PantsFreesia. You can also find me on Pinterest, Instagram, and Flickr as PantsFreesia. Watch my show, The Stitch, online at www.thestitchtvshow.com, and follow the show on Facebook, Google+, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest at The Stitch TV Show. Don't forget, it's hip to be a square.